How is everybody this morning? Are you blessed? Are you VIPs? Come on, y'all are very important people. Did you know that? I'm privileged to talk to you this morning, you bunch of VIPs. Praise God. You know, that was a great testimony, CW. Thank you for that. You know, the word works. What can I say? The word works. Amen. God's word never fails. It always accomplishes everything it's sent out to do. It always takes care of everything. Amen? And so, you know, something I wanted to just elaborate just a minute on what Tracy had said. You know, because some of y'all are relatively new to the church. And, you know, we've been working with Brother Ivan and the orphanages all over the world for years, you know, for 16, 18 years. You know, years that we've been either building churches, you know, in Mexico or working with orphanages, or we built a whole center in Botswana, Africa, you know. And so, you know, we've done a whole lot over the years. And, you know, we just really feel focused right now that God has called us to just really support what's going on in Guatemala and to work with the orphans down there. And that $30 a month, you know, what it's doing is it's paying the bills on the house we built. I mean, that's the bottom line. You got bills every month, and it pays the bills, takes care of those houses. Now, but what, you know, we haven't also said to you in a while is, you know, we also built the school down there. The water hole built the school that's in there. The kids are in there. We built all the structure on that. You know, we have maintenance and things that go on us all the time over that. And so, you know, it's not just needing 100 people for $30 a month. I want y'all to be believing for major miracles. Amen? Because, you know, it's like anything we do in life, the bigger we get, the more expenses that we have, just monthly expenses. It's about right around $40,000 a month to run the orphanage, taking care of all the kids and all the pay and the employees and all that kind of stuff like that. So there's a lot going on. You know, we're always having to add septic systems, and we're trying to finish the last phase of the construction. So anyway, just don't set your sights to just be believing for that amount of money. You know, we need miracles, right? But we're a miracle church, and there isn't anything God won't do. So you're a miracle people. You're a VIP. Everybody say, I'm a VIP. Come on, look at the person beside you and say, you're sitting beside a VIP. Matter of fact, look at the person on the other side of you and say, this is the VIP section. Now, you know, I don't know if y'all have had as much fun these last few weeks as I've had preaching this, but I just am excited. I'm excited because I'm believing God for us all to be catching new revelations of growing more and understanding more of God's word and what he has for us. And so I want you to get your Bibles out this morning. Woo-hoo! We should be excited about getting our word out. Amen. And go to the beginning, Genesis chapter 1. And I'm still talking that you have the power to walk in faith. If every one of you are a stick of dynamite, can explode with the gospel, can explode with the promises of God, can explode with the things of God. Every one of you are. But what happens is this world and this world system comes into our lives and it tears us down. Situations happen to us in life. Circumstances happen to us in life. Things happen that just happen because we live in a fallen world. Every morning when you wake up, you have to realize you do not live in the world that God created. This isn't the way it was supposed to be. We live in a fallen world. We live in a world that started out right that went wrong. And you wonder, well, how can evil happen and how can these horrible things happen? Because evil exists in this world. Because the devil walked into the garden and it all started right here in the book of Genesis. And we can read about it and see what happens. Amen? That's just the way it is. And we're going to have to walk through it. But, you know, sometimes in life we get a lot of hard blows. We get a lot of things that happen to us that set us back in life. You know, we're like the Rocky movies. I love the Rocky movies. Well, actually, I love the first one. After that, I got kind of, you know, I didn't always watch it. But the very first movie, you know, Rocky's down. He's, cut me, Mick, you know. And he, you know, and then he comes back and he, you know, he has this last burst of energy and he wins and everybody, you know. I love that. I love the underdog story that is down and downtrodden. And then all of a sudden, you know, he comes to victory. I love that. That stirs me. That's what I'm called to do in life, is to help the underdog, you know, get on top. And the only way I really know to do it is to get you to understand that this world has thrown some blows at you. This world has tried to trip you. This world has whatever. And it's, and you see, you got to understand something. The devil is not stupid. He's been around forever too. And he has this ability to come on the inside of us and know what he can do to us or say to us or influence us with that can get us off. And it's not all the same for everybody else. Maggie talking about sin down there. Man, I want to tell you something. Some people, there's certain things that I'm not going to indulge in because I don't even like it. Hello? There's other things, boy, I got to watch myself. Y'all with me? I always say about my wife loves chocolate. I don't like chocolate that much. I can eat it or not. No big deal. And if I never ate a piece of chocolate the rest of my life, it wouldn't make me any difference. Right? Coconut cream pie? Another whole story. She don't like coconut cream pie. Boy, I love it. You know, I mean, I wake up at night thinking about it. I mean, so you see what I'm saying? That there's certain temptations that are one person may yield to, the other person may not have any, you know, even a desire or even an enticement for it. But the devil knows how to entice us to get us into the things that are going to get us in trouble. Okay, you may just be, maybe you just got the wrong speech. Maybe you're just around people that just talk wrong. And I'm not talking about cussing. I'm talking about cursing. There's a big difference between cussing and cursing. Cussing is just, you know, inappropriate speech. Cursing is what you're saying out of your mouth that your ears are hearing that is causing you to not walk in the promises of God. I'm stupid. I'm not ever going to make it. Today's going to be a bad day. I'm probably going to die. This is this. That stuff right there is a curse coming out of your mouth. It is. I want to help you here this morning. I want to give you something that I in just a minute, y'all just hang on. But when you look in Genesis chapter 1, and I'm just going to read a little bit of it here. It says, and the earth was without form. I'm in verse 2. And the earth was without form and void. The darkness was upon the face of the earth. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water. Then God said, everybody say, God said. God said. 8 times throughout this chapter, it says, and then God said, let there be light. And then God said, let there be. And then God said, let there be. And then God said, let there. And then every time when God said, it happened. Well, God wants us to be like our Father. He wants to be like Him. God wants us to be like Him. Let me say it that way. We need to be like our Heavenly Father. And when you in your speech, what you say out of your mouth about you and your life or your circumstances or your situation, you are being just like either your Father, God, or as Jesus put it to the Pharisees, your father, the devil. That's right. I said it. If you're, listen, you can be religious like the Pharisees and you're acting like your father, the devil, he said. That's what Jesus said. Or you could be like your heavenly father and it's okay. Because see, there's two instances, and I don't want to get into that this morning because I could just go off. Y'all can just go read it. Where like, you see, when the angel came to Mary and said, you're going to have a child and his name's going to be Jesus and told her the whole story. Mary's like, okay. The Holy Ghost is going to come upon me. I want to have a kid. Now, that ain't never heard of that before. And she didn't doubt it. She just said, how's this going to happen? I mean, pretty good question. If you're a woman who the angel just said you're going to get pregnant, you might kind of want to know how that might happen. Right? Now, Zechariah, when he was at the temple, and the angel appeared to him and said, you're going to have a child. His name's going to be John, and he's going to go out there and do all this stuff. He said, what do you mean? That can't happen. And immediately, the Bible says that he was struck mute. He couldn't speak. And he couldn't speak because God knew that what he was going to say out of his mouth was going to curse the promise that he wanted to bring about. So he just had to shut him up. Struck him dumb right there. Now, I've asked the Lord, why don't you do some of that now Because if you did do that, it might really open up our eyes. I mean, like one day you're talking and you say, we ain't never going to... I mean, you know, you might learn a lesson, right? But, you know, grace is on us now, and so he doesn't do that. He wants us to learn and to apply it to our lives. And so every time you're speaking, eight times God said and he created this world. God wants you to be like him in what you're saying into your mouth, and it goes along with faith. You cannot have faith in your heart unless your mouth is getting lined up with God's word. Because what happens is, Your heart is the producer of faith. I've already showed y'all that these last several weeks. Your heart is the producer of faith, and you're going to be speaking what's really in your heart. So if you listen to what comes out of your mouth, you're going to know what's in your heart. So the only way to put into your heart what should be in your heart is to say out of your mouth what should be in your heart. Is that confusing enough? Your heart, your mouth's doing two things. It's revealing what's really in your heart, but your mouth can also input into your heart. When you speak it out of your mouth and you hear it with your ears, it will get into your heart. So if you wake up in the morning and say, man, the Word of God says I'm blessed today. I'm blessed in the city and I'm blessed in the field. I'm blessed when I come and I'm blessed when I go. Well, then your ears are hearing you're blessed by God. So it's getting down into your heart. You may not really believe it right now, but as you begin to speak it and you start the process, eventually one day it's going to click and you're going to have a revelation. And then when you say, whoo, man, I am blessed, then it really did come from your heart, and it really is going to be faith, that power produced out of your life that's going to begin to create blessings in front of you. I mean, a very simple form of this that you could just go practice it tomorrow. Just get up in the morning and just be mad. And then go around everywhere you go tomorrow. And every person you see, every clerk, every cashier, every waitress, every person you come around, just chew them up. Just act ugly. Just order them around like, you know, a dog. And then at the end of the day, take an evaluation of then how many people were nice back to you. Right? And then take another day and just be nice to everybody. Wake up in the morning and say, this is going to be a good day, whether you feel like it or not. And just be nice to everybody and bless everybody. And just watch what your day's like. See, you live it all the time. Y'all with me? But we just don't understand that it's a spiritual principle on the inside of us that God wants us to be using at all times. All right? Now, Proverbs 18:21 says that life and death is in the power of the tongue. Or actually it says death and life is in the power of the tongue. So he literally, your life or your death is being created by what you're saying out of your mouth. I mean, we believe the Word of God's true, right? So then that literally life or death is being produced by what you're saying out of your mouth. Listen, you guys that are in business, if somebody comes in and to do business with you and you say, this is going to be a bad deal. I bet this guy's not going to pay me. Well, there's one part to being wise and, you know, maybe getting 50% deposit up front or something like that. There's one part about wisdom, but there's another part about just cursing your whole business, cursing your whole life. Yeah. Just because one person didn't pay you doesn't mean that every person is not going to pay you. I had a person that owed me some money, and I want to tell you something. I don't know how this man survived as long as he did, because every morning when I woke up, I said, Lord, I thank you that I'm blessed. I thank you that you are my bill collector. I thank you, Lord, that you bring it in from the north, the south, the east, and the west. I declare that you said that you bless me, Lord, and you said that those that don't bless me, that you curse them, and I thank you that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I mean, I threw some fire down preacher stuff until... Bless God, I got a check. Are y'all with me? I mean, it's how you're going to approach it. I'm not going to lose in life. I'm going to win. Why am I going to win? Because Robert's good, because I'm talented, because I have cat-like reflexes, and I am the wisest man that ever walked? No.
Because I am a VIP. I am a son of God. I have covenants and promises that belong to me, that I can go to the Word of God and I can stand on the Word of God and I can say, man, I got my VIP ticket. That's why. Because I'm crazy and I'll march around my house professing the Word of God, speaking out of my mouth until I see that mountain move. Listen, I don't stand a chance any other way. If we were like the Old West and we could go stand out on the street and I could just sit up there and say, okay, dude, you know, I'm going to kill you right now. I'm going to draw. I'm going to slap leather right here. Well, man, I want to get you. I would feel relatively confident. Because I'm a pretty good pistol shot. But you know what? There's always some yahoo that's a little bit faster. And you got to watch that little yahoo that's a little bit faster. And he may be just some little, in his physique and his whatever, just may be a little, you know, not very scary, not very, you know, tough looking, not very intimidating looking, or whatever, you know. Or maybe the little fool shoots you in the back. But all I'm saying is I don't have any confidence in my ability to do anything on earth if you take away the Word of God from me. If I don't have Jesus on my side, man, I'm just sitting here just like a fish out of water. That's how I live my life. That's how I've walked in victory. That's how we've seen everything. Now, I didn't always think this way. Because I came from a family, and God bless them, but everybody I was around was pessimist. It didn't make any difference, whatever. I mean, you could plant a field and it's starting to grow and everybody say, yeah, probably a hailstorm come, kill everything around here. You know, look up in the sky and say, if it rains, it'll be a miracle, you know. You know, it was always like that, you know. The tractor did start. You finally got it started. Well, it's going to break down later, you know, so don't worry about it. And so that was just the way that it was. And so I grew up around all that. And one day, it was probably 18 or 19 years ago, I was getting ready to on a Sunday morning to come here and preach. And the Lord stopped me and just gave me what I'm about to give you. And I wrote it down. And for, you know, all these years, this is my confession. And I should have put it up on the board, but you need to write it down. We're going to have some cards, and I'm going to give them all to you, but I had to do this morning because he told me to. And I wrote this confession down, and it goes like this. I am fearfully and wonderfully made, one of a kind, uniquely designed for a purpose that only I can fulfill. I'm created in the image of my God, by my God, in my mother's womb. I am so loved by my God that he sent his only son to save me. I'm designed for victory. I'm destined for greatness. My God is in control of my life. Therefore, nothing is impossible for me. Now, every one of those words is scripture. Every one of those is taken from the Bible, of a scripture. But God spoke it to me that way. He says, Robert, why don't you start confessing that? Why don't you start speaking that out of your mouth? Why don't you start waking up in the morning and saying, you know, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Man, I am one of a kind. Wow. There is no other Robert Richards on the face of the earth. Ain't nobody like me. I am uniquely designed. And I'm created in my mother's womb and uniquely designed for a purpose that only I can fulfill. He said, well, that's just being arrogant. No, that is the Word of God. If you believe, if you're a pessimist or your thinking is crazy, I want to tell you something. You got to get it lined up with the Word of God. And the only way you're going to get that done is it's got to come out of your mouth so you can hear it in your ears, so it can be down in your heart, and you can produce faith. There's no other way, church. Listen to me. There's no injection. There's no holy oil that's just going to get doused on you that you're going to get it. You can't, You know, that there is no, there's no other way. This is the only way. So for 20 years, I've walked around and I say, man, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Man, I'm one of a kind. I'm uniquely designed. Whoo, for a purpose that only I can fulfill. God, you got something good for me out there. You created me to do it. I'm going to walk in it. Changed my thinking. It changed my thinking. You know what it gave me? VIP thinking. It gave me VIP thinking that I'm a very important person in life. I'm not a mistake. I'm not a mishap. I don't know. You know, I've even laughed sometimes because I said, well, you know, Lord, if you uniquely designed me, you could have designed me a little better. But, you know, maybe there's a hole that I got to plug someday and I got to be the size I am to fit in it or something. I don't know. You know, maybe the ship is sinking and they say, you know, water's coming in that hole. You're the perfect size. Stick me in there. I don't know. When you get to thinking that the Bible says in Genesis 1 that God created you in his image. He created you in his image. Then if I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, if I'm one of a kind, if I'm uniquely designed for a purpose, if I'm created in the image of my God, then how in the world can I think bad about myself? How can I look in the mirror and say, oh, man, you're so ugly. You know, your nose too big. You got your ears are cockeyed. You know, hey, you know. How can you not like yourself? How can you go, listen, all that is on TV, all that's up there, that's a facade. That ain't real. You can't compare yourself with that and say, oh, well, I don't look like that. Man, I look like I do. Now, you know, we can reshape ourselves. But I ain't going to get taller. Right? I can lose some weight. I can change some, but I'm not going to get any taller. I know I've prayed about it. I said, Lord, I don't need to lose weight. I just need to get taller. Stretch myself out. Everything be taken care of. I'm so loved by my God that he sent his only son to save me. Do you realize that? How important are you? Jesus died for you. He died for you. That's how important you are. He died for you. He came to this earth and died and went to the cross for you. That's how important you are. If you were the only person on this earth, he would have still died for you. See, we got to have self-worth. We can't be trying to get the approval of man on everything that we do because man is never going to approve of it. You know, you can do something or create something or build something or whatever, and you can do it and it's great, and everybody looks and says, man, that is amazing. That'll always be one yahoo that walks around and says, you know, if you'd have done it this way, there's always one of those jokers around. So if you're living for the approval of man, then what's going to happen to you is you never will meet that standard and you'll always feel substandard. But if you realize that you are so important that God came and died for you, that you have VIP status because you're smart enough, not what the liberals say. Listen, not what the liberals say. They said, oh, you're not, you know, only ignorant and you know, people would be believing in the God and the Bible and stuff like that. No, no, no. They're going to find out that they're wrong. But I'm telling you what, you are so important, you are so amazing that Jesus died for you. Then folks, you got to take some self-worth in yourself. You got to hold your head up and you're not just a mistake and you're not just something that just happened. And you've got to change your thinking and change your speech. Well, I'm too fat. Well, I'm too skinny. My feet are too big. My toes are too long. Just give it up. Quit. Let's put it this way. Talking about it ain't going to get you nothing. In the negative. Talking about it in the positive produces faith in your heart and brings about a victory. You know, nobody raised your hand, but I know all of us has an area of crazy in our life. You know, if you tell me, no, I don't have any crazy in my life, you're lying. And that's your crazy area. You're a liar and you're deceived. Okay? But you got to crazy by what you think and what you say. See, nobody did it to you. The devil just suggested it to you, and then you took the bait and ran. Are y'all with me? You just took the bait and ran. You let the hook be set and got reeled in. You just walking around with a lure hanging out of your mouth all the time. I ran across this young man the other day that looked like he got hung up with a weed eater and a bunch of metal, and it shot in his face. It was stuck everywhere, and I started laughing. I said to him, what would possess you to do this? Of course, I was thinking on a spiritual level, like, why would you put holes in your face and whatever, you know? And he didn't think it was too funny. But we're like that. We're walking around with fish hooks in us. We got the hook set in us. And I really kind of think sometimes that was just showing physically the manifestation of what was in their heart. And it broke my heart, you know. It's like, man. Anyway, you're important. Listen, folks, you're designed for victory. You're destined for greatness. You're destined for greatness. You say, well, I don't feel very great. I don't feel like I'm... No, listen to me. You are destined for greatness because there's things that go on because God doesn't see things exactly in the kingdom like you see things. What if you get to heaven and find out that an unknown evangelist to the world who got, you know, the more people saved than anybody else, you happen to have smiled at him one day, which gave him the courage to go on, and that you had a part of that, and you didn't even know it. But you get to heaven, and you step in, and everybody's like, and here he is! And you're like, what? Who? Where? What? What are you talking about? You're the one. You smiled at him, and he got saved, and everybody over here, all of this. And you're like, wow. Right? You don't know, folks. You don't know. But you're destined for greatness. You are destined for greatness. And the last thing of that is God is in control of your life. And so there's nothing that's impossible for you. If God's in control of your life, if you've submitted your heart and life to Jesus Christ, if you've given your life over to Him and said, Jesus, you own me. I'm selling out to you. I believe in you. I trust in you. You're the Son of God. I know it. Listen to me. Then He's in control of your life, and there's nothing that's impossible for you. And the only thing that can hinder you from walking in victory is your own mouth, your own faith you're producing in your heart, and your own crazy thoughts you got in your head. Hello? Y'all still there? Look at the person beside you and say, I got a little crazy. You know, I have to admit it. I am the guy. I mean, listen to me. I'm telling y'all this, and I don't want y'all, I don't want to portray to y'all that I live the perfect life and my speech is always right. I mean, ask my wife. I mean, I'm not a hypocrite in this thing. There's days that I will get discouraged. There's days that I will look at things and say, holy cow. I mean, there's days that I will fall down and I'll just go to just throwing a fit and want to just take an axe and chop a table to pieces. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm being honest with you. There's days that I have to go out and this probably shouldn't go over the internet, but I don't really care. And I just have to load my clips up and just walk outside and fire shots and shoot targets and get out frustration because I am mad. I'm tired. I'm frustrated. I'm irritated. And my speech I know is not good. And so I have to shut up. I have to just bite my tongue and just shut up and not say anything. Okay? But then I had to go through a little process, and then all of a sudden I said, oh, wait a minute, that's not, no, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I may start out and say, man, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm one of a kind. I need to design the image of a God that only I can fulfill. Okay? I mean, I'm just being honest, you know. I'm not crazy in that sense. I'm just saying that I'm just being honest with you. Yeah, I think all of us do. I think if you think you always say everything right, you're probably deceived. Because you can maybe say everything right, but what's going on inside your head? All right? But then I rise up and I pull my boots on and I dust some bridges leg off and I say, no, 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 no. I'm not going to fall into that trap. You're not going to take me down that rabbit hole. I am not going down that road. In the name of Jesus, this is what the Word of God says. And I get my faith going. I get my speech going. And I start overcoming. And all of a sudden, I'm back on top. That's just life, folks. That's just life. All right? Now, I want to show you something else here just for a moment. Go to Genesis chapter 17. I want to bring this out to your attention so I give you something to look at. In Genesis 17, you find the story of Abraham. Now, I'll just tell it to you. You can start over in Genesis chapter 12 and read all the way through and learn about Abraham's life. But Abraham was just a normal guy. He lived in just in his day and his time in a normal place. There was really nothing, really exceptional about Abraham except one thing. The one thing is that he could produce faith. You go look at, study Abraham's life. God would speak to him and he would believe God, he'd trust God, and he'd walk in it. It was his ability to believe God, trust in God, that put Abraham on the map. Otherwise, he was just a normal guy walking along. But he heard the voice of God. Genesis 12 says God called him out and he goes through there. And he promised him a son, but there's a problem. There was no children. His wife was barren. She could not produce children. And so Abraham in his mind, I mean, it was one of these things. If God's ever spoken to you or you've ever seen something in the Word that you really wanted to walk in and you see it and you're trying to believe it, but it just will not or it is not coming to pass, you want to get discouraged. And this is where Abraham was in life. So he would be saying, well, God, you said you're going to give me a son of promise, but my wife, she's not getting pregnant. All right? And then, you know, there was a situation, you know, and his wife said, well, you know, take my maidservant. And then, you know, Ishmael was born and all that kind of stuff goes on. But all through these years, for approximately 25 years, God had told Abraham that he was going to have a child, but he never had a child. Okay? Now, these are approximates, okay? So don't needle me on that. Write me a letter about that. I was off on my date. Anyway, about 25 years. Abraham goes from the promise, okay? He ain't got nothing. And then all of a sudden, God, what we miss is God, see, he wants us to win. If we're in the rocky fight, God is on our cheering section. He's saying, come on, come on, you can do it. But he needs us to do it. See, we're always wanting God to do it. We're wanting to just hands off, just pray a prayer. So, Father, boom. Oh, there it is. God's not a magic genie. There's no lamp to rub. God wants us to produce faith, speak it out of our mouth, and see it happen. But all Abraham could ever see and all Abraham could ever walk in was his wife ain't getting pregnant. The belly is not swelling. I mean, just think about it. They didn't have pregnancy tests in those days. He's just having to look. He's looking with his eyes. How's it going? Anything seem to be happening in there? Y'all with me? Totally looking to see. Totally looking every time. That's what happens to us. We get into those places and in those ruts in our lives where we're needing a mountain to move, whether it's a mountain of finances, a mountain of your marriage, a mountain of discouragement, a mountain of whatever the mountain may be in your life. And we always are just, we pray and then we look. And then it didn't move. I've not seen it move. And we pray and then we look. And then we get discouraged. He said, well, how am I going to know it moved? Unless I look. How about just the minute you hear the cry of the baby, you know you had a son of promise? Oh, that's too hard. If you really truly believe it, then it's what's in your heart, so it's going to be coming in your mouth anyway, so what you see doesn't make any difference because you just know it's going to work out. So Abraham's got this problem. God says you're going to have a son. It's going to be your heir. He gets tired, finally says, look, I'm tired of believing. Y'all ever been that way? Abraham himself said, man, I'm tired of believing God. Let's just take my servant here, Eliezer. Let's just make him my son, okay? I'll just adopt the kid. Here he is. I can see him. And we'll just call him the son of promise. God says, no, you're going to have a child. He said, but I've been looking for so long, 25 years ago. It only takes 9 months to have a baby, and I got 25 years behind me, and I can get nowhere. Are y'all with me here? Looking. Back and forth. That's all he's doing. Back and forth. 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 Y'all with me? God says, now I'm painting a little bit of picture here in this part, but this is the way I believe it went down. God's like, he probably wasn't, but this is the way I like to see it. He's like, ay, Jesus, we're going to have to do something. Abraham, man, he ain't getting it. What do you think? And Jesus says, you know, I got it. We got to get his speech lined up. So let's change his name. God's like, that'll work. So he comes and he appears. He said, Abraham, ha! Promise your son's going to come about, but we're going to change you. We're going to change your name. This is what happens here in chapter 17. It says, we're going to change your name from Abram, which means a father, to Abraham, which means the father of many nations. In other words, you are the big daddy. You are the most prolific guy around. You got kids everywhere. You are the baby maker. Abraham's like, really? I get to be called Abraham. Wow. This is horrible. I can't even produce one kid. You know, I don't know. Maybe everybody snickered at Abraham. Because you ever been like that where in life that people know you're a Christian, know you're believing for something, know you're trying to do something, but things aren't going really right, and so they're looking at you, and you feel like, they're looking at me like, you know, you feel pressure upon you because you need to produce, and you're not producing, and they're looking at you. So Abraham's like, this is over the top. I got to go out there and tell everybody now, my name is Father of Many Nations. This is crazy. But Abraham was a man that heard God and believed God. So he had to do it. He did not want to be disobedient to Almighty God. Now, God had already, the Bible said he had already prospered. He made him rich in cattle, gold, and silver. He had an army of servants. He had 386 trained servants that, I mean, they were like, you know, killer elites. They were his own personal army. If he said attack, he took it, and he left with nothing but his family. So I'm telling you, God has prospered him in 25 years. He is powerful, but no kids. So nobody is really going to talk trash to his face. Yeah, because he's got, you know, 300-man army right there will cut your head off. But yet, you can imagine they thought trash. Y'all with me? All right. So Abraham's going to believe God, so he's going to do what he's going to do. So he walks out and he says, I need to have a meeting this morning. Call everybody out this morning. Bring everybody, come on out. Okay, I talked to God this morning, and he told me that he's changing my name. My name, do not ever call me anymore Abram, but my name now is Abraham. And you know somebody's going to go, but they didn't because they knew they'd get killed. They went home maybe in their house and laughed about it with their wife, but they didn't do it out front because they had killed him right there. Here's my name. My name now is Father of Many Nations. So everybody's like, okay, sir. Well, Abraham. So everywhere he went, everywhere he walked, every servant he ever told what to go do, anybody he had to do, he said, they addressed him then as Abraham. And they called him Abraham. And his wife called him Abraham. And everybody called him Abraham. Until he kept hearing the name Abraham, till it finally got in his head what God was really saying to him. And from the time God changed his name to Abraham, in 9 months there was a kid born. 25 years goes without nothing. Then his name gets changed, and boom, a kid's born. Why? Because he had to start saying out of his mouth what God's promise said, that I was going to be a father of many nations, by his name change. And the moment his name changed and he started speaking out of his mouth, his ears started hearing it, something clicked on the inside of him, faith was produced, boom, a kid was born. You tell me this doesn't work? You tell me God can't operate by faith and bring things about? If you'll just change your speech and change your thinking, you say, I don't know why God's not moving in my life. Maybe it's what you're saying. See, we don't like to hear that because then that makes it our responsibility. It's always easier to blame stuff on God. Everybody wants to blame God for everything. But nobody ever wants to take personal responsibility that it could be what's coming out of our mouth and what we're thinking in our head that's really producing faith or non-faith in our hearts that's really created our world. You with me? And just in closing here, if you looked at, you just write it down because we're not going to turn there. But James chapter 2, verse 21 through 24, it was said, James says about Abraham that he believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. Abraham got the name or the title or the whatever. He was known as a friend of God. Why was he a friend of God? Because he could produce faith. Y'all with me? So, let me read it to you one more time. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Everybody say it with me. Say it with me. Say, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm one of a kind. Uniquely designed. For a purpose that only I can fulfill. I'm created in the image of my God. By my God. In my mother's womb. I'm so loved by my God that he sent his only son to save me. Now come on, get a little fire in this part. I'm designed for victory. I'm destined for greatness. My God is in control of my life. Therefore, nothing is impossible for me. Amen. Y'all stand to your feet. You know, back when I was going through Bible college, and I had to go to Arkansas, and this church invited me to preach, and I preached. And that was the very first time I'd ever shared that with anybody. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I shared it at that service, and, you know, it just seemed to fall flat. It just seemed like it never even made it off the pulpit, you know, it just died right there. And I didn't know it, but it was a former Oneness Pentecostal church, and they were very strict in their dress and all this kind of stuff like this. And nobody told me, you know, and I was just me. And so, you know, they wouldn't receive anything from me because I wouldn't dress right and I didn't act right. And so, you know, being the cowboy that I am, you know, I was like, man, Jesus always said, dust the dust off your feet, but that never worked. And I was like, meh, fine. Y'all's lost. I'm leaving. A couple of years later, I had to go back up there, And a lady came and found me, and she said, you know, you preached a message in the church, and I remembered it because I remembered how disgusted I was with the whole place. And she said, you said that about fearfully and wondering if anybody, and I wrote it down, and I've confessed it every morning in the mirror to myself. I've looked myself in the eye and said that, and I just want you to know my whole life changed, everything worked, you know, my whole life is better, and da-da-da-da-da, because of that. And it blessed me because of something that I thought was a bomb. You know, nobody received anything. That they would have burnt me on the stake out there if they could have gotten me out there, you know. But someone was blessed. And I just want you to know, I believe in for y'all this morning. Because I know all of us have problems with our thinking. And I just want to believe God for you today. And I'm going to pray over you right now. That something said today grabs hold of you. And that you'll be able to look yourself in the mirror and you'll be able to confess and believe that your life will be different because of what God's Word says. I'm believing for miracles today for y'all. Amen? And so, I want to pray for you. But listen, if you're here today, matter of fact, let me have my prayer team come on down right now. If you're on the prayer team this morning or pastoral team, y'all are praying for people this morning, come on down here this morning. Listen, if you're in here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's the very first confession that needs to come out of your mouth to bring you some victory. It's the very first one. The moment you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And if you're here today and you're not sure that if you died that you would go to heaven because you're not sure you're right with Jesus, well then these people right up front here, they will pray with you. And they will introduce you to the greatest person on this whole earth. In heaven and earth, Jesus. And so, if you're with somebody this morning, and you know, if you're with somebody this morning and you're not sure that they're right with God, then bring them down here in just a minute and just pray. Let's don't anybody leave here this building today not knowing that you're right with Jesus. If you're out there today watching on video or you're listening by audio, and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says, confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, and you'll be saved. Right there, wherever you are, just cry out and ask Jesus to come into your life. Just say, Jesus, I love you. I believe you're the Son of God. Come into my life right now. Forgive me of my sins. And He will. He will. But church, I want you just to take the person's hand beside you, and I'm going to pray over you. I'm believing God for miracles today, that you're going to hear this message, and your life's going to be changed. So, Father, right now, I pray over all of these here and those that are listening and watching today. I just declare, Lord, right now in Jesus' name, that their confession is going to line up with your word, that they're going to be arrested by the Holy Ghost and see the errors of their ways of what they're saying out of their mouth, that their ears are going to become very attuned to your word, Lord. And when their word that's coming out of their mouth is not lining up, that they'll know it. There'll be a quickening in them that they're saying the wrong thing. And that, Lord, that they will begin to line their speech up, which will begin to line their heart up, which will begin to produce faith, and which will begin to bring miracles into their lives. Their mountains will move. I declare that there's nothing that's impossible for them. So, Lord, today I bless them. Today I ask you to pour yourself out upon them. And today, Lord, I believe there's a change in their life that they will never, ever, ever be the same. God, I thank you for it, and I praise you for it this day. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. God bless you, church. Listen, we're here up front to pray with you. Come on down.